Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we invite you in for the continuation of our study through the study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, of course, based on Bob's book of that very same title. Copies of the book and the study guide are available, of course, at basicgospel.net. Just click the Simple Gospel book link right at the top of the homepage, and you'll find both the book and the study guide there. Again, that Simple Gospel book link at basicgospel.net. But for right now, it's time to get underway with today's study, this Friday edition called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And here to do that is Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're on page 58 in our Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We're talking about forgiveness of sins, the chapter titled They're All Gone. So many of us struggle with this idea of forgiveness. I think it's one of the biggest issues that Christians face. They continue to live their lives as if God had not forgiven their sins. They live in guilt and shame and fear and all of those negative emotions because they're not sure that their sins have been forgiven. And even if they do say, God forgave my sins, they're not sure exactly what that means.
Right.
And so this chapter, They're All Gone, really gives a thorough explanation of what it means to be forgiven of all your sins. And we spent a little time our last session looking at the definition of the word forgiveness. And its primary meaning is to send away or to put away. It's used in First Corinthians chapter 7. And it's rendered divorce in that particular chapter. So it says for a husband not to send away or to put away his wife, not to divorce his wife. Well, that's exactly what God has done with our sins. He has sent them away once and for all. Now, the book of Psalms has this passage in it, Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So how far has God sent our sins away from us? Well, an infinite distance, as far as the east is from the west, and that is an infinite distance. So they have been removed from us. They have been sent away once and for all through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we have a wonderful picture of this in the Old Testament. It is on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. That day happens in the fall of every year. And in the Jewish law, that was when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would take blood of a bull and he would put that on the altar to take care of his sins. Mm-hmm. And then they would sacrifice a goat, and he would take the blood of the goat, and he would put that on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And then he would come out, and then there was more to the ritual. And the ritual involved a scapegoat, a second goat. And we're going to pick up that in Leviticus chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 21 and 22. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. So here's how the events of that day went. So first there was a sacrifice of a bull for the sins of the high priest. Then there was the sacrifice of a goat for the sins of the people. And then there was a live goat called the scapegoat. And the high priest would pull lots or cast lots. And one would be dubbed as the sacrificial goat. The other would be the scapegoat. And so after he came out of the Holy of Holies, he would take the blood of the first goat that he had sprinkled on the altar, and he would take some of that blood and put it on the head of the scapegoat. And there was a person standing and ready, and he would give that goat to the person, and that person would lead the goat out into the wilderness. And verse 22 says this, the goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. So this sacrifice was done in the temple, at the Holy of Holies. And then this goat was taken outside of the city, and he was sent into the wilderness. Well, that's the picture of Jesus Christ taking away our sins once and for all. So he removed them from us. He bore our sins in his body. And we looked at that our last session, the fact that he who knew no sin became sin. What is that a picture of? It is the picture of Jesus bearing in his body the sins of the world. That's my sins. That's your sins. That's everyone's sins. He bore those sins in his body. And then he sent them away once and for all. So what did the high priest do symbolically with the sins of the people? He put them on the head of the scapegoat. And after he placed the sins of on the head of the goat, what did he then do with the goat? He sent them out into the wilderness. So where did the sins of the people go? Far away from them, out into the wilderness. Now, this ritual, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, was only a shadow. It's not the realities themselves. So this ritual of the scapegoat, even the whole Day of Atonement was symbolic, was a shadow pointing us forward to the work of Jesus Christ. So those sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, could never take away the sins of the people, according to Hebrews 10:2. So did the scapegoat actually take away the sins of the people? Absolutely not. They were still indebted to God. Why? Because the blood of a bull, the blood of a goat, was not sufficient to do what the blood of Christ did. So how about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Did his sacrifice take away our sins once and for all? Absolutely. So now, as believers in Christ, can we say with utmost confidence that our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west? Absolutely. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient. His blood sent your sins away once and for all. Talk about good news. That is good news.
Yes, indeed.
So he didn't just pat you on the head and say, you're forgiven. No, Christ shed his blood, and in shedding his blood, he removed your sins, and then he sent them away once and for all.
Here at Basic Gospel, we enjoy every day. Fridays are a bit special because we're able to offer some in-depth teaching on New Covenant grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in these sessions we're working through currently, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the study guide by that name. Well, we hope you're benefiting from what you're hearing. And if you miss any of the weekly sessions along the way, just visit the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. We hope you'll share them with your family and friends. All the sessions are there for you and for anyone you'd like to share them with. If you don't have a copy of the study guide, you can order it and the book directly from the archive page. And again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. Friends, also remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate every one of you who has given to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. And we want to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel by sending you a copy of this new CD series by Bob Christopher. It's called Making the Case for Grace, a rich study through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Request your copy when you make your December gift at basicgospel.net. All right, now back to our study, and here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So as far as forgiveness is concerned, based on the definition of forgiveness, we see that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he removed our sins from us, he sent them away, and then the third thing that we're going to talk about as far as the definition of forgiveness is concerned is the fact that he remembers them no more.
Right.
That's the good news. That's kind of the final piece of this story of forgiveness. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, a couple of verses there, starting in verse 15. We could read this whole chapter, and it's one of my favorite chapters in the entire Word of God. Why? Because it really lifts up the person of Jesus Christ and really shows us the value of his sacrifice, the fact that he took away our sins, the fact that through that shed blood he made us holy, that he made us perfect. And he goes on to say in verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. And then he adds, verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 10, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. So this is the new covenant actually in effect for you and me today. Yeah. So it was a covenant that was prophesied by Jeremiah. We can read about that in Jeremiah 31. And it was fulfilled, brought into being by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he fulfilled the old covenant. He brought that to its completion. And then he ushered in this new covenant. And in this new covenant, God remembers our sins and our lawless deeds no more, and where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering of sin. So based on Hebrews 10:17, what does God say about our sins and lawless acts? He will remember them no more. That's good news. We keep dredging up sins of the past. We keep running those through our minds, and every time we do, we feel the weight of guilt again. We feel fear again. We feel shame again. We just keep dredging up sins of the past. Well, what does God do? He remembers them no more. Well, we need to get on God's page instead of our page. And when we do, we can actually go free from our past. We can leave it where it is and recognize that Jesus has already dealt with it. He has dealt with it in full, and as a result, God remembers it no more. So how does he confirm this truth? In verse 18, it says, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Well, Jesus died how many times? He died one time. And his sacrifice, that one sacrifice, was sufficient to take away all sin. So since it was sufficient, what that means is there is no longer any other sacrifice that will be made as far as sin is concerned. So in the new covenant, there is no place for sacrifice in relationship to sin.
Right.
There is a sacrifice of praise that we offer through our lips, praising his name for the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's a sacrifice in response to the good news.
You can but get into that one, right?
But as far as more blood being shed, Jesus shed his blood once and for all, and there is no longer any offering for sin. So the only thing that we can do is rest. As far as this new covenant is concerned, the only thing that we can do is rest in Christ's finished work. We don't need to ask him to do it again. He did it once. God the Father was satisfied with that on behalf of your sins and the sins of the entire world. He's not going to die again. When he comes back, he is going to bring salvation to those who are awaiting him. He's not going to deal with sin ever again. There is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Now, at Calvary, 2,000 years ago, God did remember your sins. He remembered every single one of them. And we look at Romans 8:3 and ask the question, what did he do with your sins at the cross according to this verse? Well, here's what Romans 8:3 says. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what did he do with your sins? He condemned them in Jesus. He condemned sin in the flesh. And his condemnation is the most precise and exact and just condemnation of sin that has ever been. Yeah. And he exacted a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that sacrifice, the righteous requirements of the law have been met in you. So why did God condemn sin in the flesh through Jesus Christ? So that the righteous requirements of the law might be met in you. Now, let me ask this question. If the righteous requirements of the law have been met in you, is there anything left for God to do with your sin? And the answer is absolutely not. There's nothing more that God is going to do. So are you believing that? Are you resting in it? Are you coming to grips with the fact that it is finished? Are you starting to believe in your heart and mind that your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ? That's what this truth is all about. So one of the definitions of the Greek word for forgiveness is this: to let go from one's further notice, care, attendance, or occupancy. That is to leave or to let alone. So in what ways does the promise of Hebrews 10:17 satisfy this definition? Well, God dealt with your sins in Christ 2,000 years ago, and he has let your sins go from his further notice, care, attendance, or occupancy. He's not up in heaven wringing his hands thinking about all of your sins and all of your transgressions and all of your evil deeds. No, he thought about it 2,000 years ago, and he accepted the blood of Jesus as complete and total payment for your sins. Yeah. Sins that have been removed from you, sins that have been sent away, and because of that, now forgotten by God himself. Now, if you want proof of this amazing truth, you keep reading through the book of Hebrews. You go through Hebrews chapter 10 all the way into Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when you start to read chapter 11, you're going to see that this is a hall of fame of Old Testament believers, those who are being commended for their faith.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a look at that in just a second.
Well, friends, you're listening to a study edition of Basic Gospel as Bob Christopher is teaching through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide based on the book by the same title. And we want you to join Bob online Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. You can get the stream from Facebook and YouTube. And to make it easy, Greg has placed direct links both to Facebook and YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. That's Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live with Bob Christopher. There's a growing number that are joining Bob on that particular stream, and we would love for you to take advantage of that additional teaching. We would love for you to take advantage of that. Well, you're listening to Basic Gospel, everybody, and we continue now in our study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. So you start to read Hebrews chapter 11, and you read about this these wonderful men of faith and women of faith back in the Old Testament. And when you read their stories in the Old Testament, you see them warts and all.
Yeah.
You see the good, the bad. You see that they were not, they were not stellar as far as their character was concerned. Abraham lied constantly. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer and a murderer. He committed those sins. And yet when we get to Hebrews chapter 11 and God tells their story, he doesn't mention a single sin.
No.
He doesn't mention sin at all in Hebrews chapter 11. He simply is commending the saints of old for their faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that what they were strangers and exiles on the earth. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. When he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. And he goes on to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Samuel, and he commends each and every one of them for their faith. Well, why didn't he talk about their sins? Why? Because in Christ, their sins have been removed, their sins have been sent away, and God remembers them no more. Yeah. So he told their story through the lens of faith, by grace through faith. Well, guess what? He's going to tell your story in exactly the same way. When he tells your story to all of the saints, it's going to be a story of faith. When he looks at you in your eyes, he's going to commend you for your faith. Why? Because your sins have been dealt with, and he remembers them no more. So if you want proof of that, Hebrews 11 is the proof. Now, many Christians fear that when they stand before God, every sin, every evil thought, every evil desire will be broadcast for all creation to see. So how does the truth of Hebrews 10:17 cast that fear away? Well, it just tells you that God remembers your sins no more. There's not a video. There's not a file on a computer somewhere that he's going to hit the button and show the world. No, they are gone, gone forever.
Yes, indeed, they are. And you have a recent video covering that very topic on our YouTube channel. Friends, if you'd like to take advantage of that, we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net/YouTube. You'll find lots of videos there, including this one on the judgment seat of God.
Yes, indeed. So are you getting the good news? Are you getting the picture that you are a forgiven person, that God has removed your sins, he sent them away, he remembers them no more? Can you just relax in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Can you just rest and say, thank you, thank you, thank you? Well, I hope you can, because that's what faith is. That's what faith says. Thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, the Bible tells us in a couple of places in Paul's letters, Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, that we are to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. Now, we're not going to be able to do what Christ did. We're not going to shed our blood. We're not going to lay down our lives so that others can have experience or can have forgiveness of sins. Christ did that.
Yes.
And so based on what he did, we're to extend that grace to others who have wronged us.
Right.
Based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. He remembers your sins no more. He remembers their sins no more. So based on that, we can extend this act of grace. And that's what that word in Ephesians and Colossians means. The root word is charis, and it means to extend an act of grace. And we can do that based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. He remembers your sins no more. Let's let that grace infuse our hearts and our minds, and let's extend that to one another in the love of Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Bob, thank you for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website. That, of course, basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks for your partnership with Basic Gospel, we want to send you a copy of Bob's new Roman CD series, Making the Case for Grace. Request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you again to join Bob online Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Morning Live. You can link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, thanks to our stalwart tech guy, Greg. You can go there at basicgospel.net, and you can join Bob on Sunday mornings. Well, we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.